Hi, everybody. It's Doug Mayhew. I'm here with Robert Stamm of TenGen, and we're going to talk about MongoDB and .NET. We're here at Mongo's office down in Palo Alto in Silicon Valley, and Robert here is the developer of the .NET driver for MongoDB, so he's going to be showing us how that works. And you've probably heard a lot about Mongo. It's kind of a hot topic these days, and TenGen is kind of the leading force in the Mongo community. We're going to talk about the .NET driver. Mongo has been available on Windows for some time, kind of from the get-go. Windows developers have had a lot of options. They can use, .NET, Python, a bunch of other languages.
Java, Ruby, Python.
Yeah,
and,
cool.
And, of course, C#.
And you guys have kind of fully featured drivers for all of those.
We do.
And so today, I guess we're going to talk about the .NET driver, which isn't just a C# driver, but it's a CLS-compliant true .NET driver, right?
True. So the C# driver is written in C#, but it can be used from any CLR-compliant language. We've had a number of releases of it already. The current release is 1.4, which just came out a week or so ago. And the major feature in the 1.4 release is support for Link. But we've also turned on the CLS compliant flags to make it more interoperable with other languages.
Cool. And then, so Mongo on Windows, also Mongo on Azure is another option for .NET developers these days. We've been working with you guys to make that work a lot better, the kind of Mongo and Azure story.
Sure.
And we're not going to talk about that in this particular context, but for those .NET developers who know the Azure platform, Mongo is a great tool to have in the tool chest now. And I understand you guys have some customers who are using what Mongo on Windows, National Archives UK apparently uses it, the analytics engine, Pattern Builders, those
True.
Guys are using it. And these are all Windows Mongo users, right?
Right. And of course, if you're deploying on Azure, developing your application in C# is a good fit. So.
Yeah. So I guess with that, why don't we just get into the gory details here. You're the developer, the driver, and what are you going to take us through here today?
Okay, well, what we're going to do today is we're going to look at some code, and we'll just develop a simple console application that does CRUD operations. So we're going to create a document, we're going to read it, we're going to update it, and we're going to delete it.
Cool.
And we'll just walk through those steps and see how it's done. It's not very hard.
Sounds good.
All right, before we get started looking at some code, I wanted to show you where to go on the web to find out more information about MongoDB and the C# driver. So just do a web search for MongoDB C# Language Center. And this is our sort of home page for the C# driver. There are links to a couple of tutorials here that you might want to go look at. There's also API documentation, which is method by method documentation of every class in the C# driver. And also at the bottom of the C# Language Center page, we have links to user or discussion groups where you can ask questions. That's the MongoDB-user group. And we also have a link to the Jira bug tracking system where you can report any issues you might encounter.
So when I post a question to that group there, Robert, you and others are the ones who answer that? You guys at TenGen?
We do participate heavily in those groups. Those are community groups, so you may receive answers from other users of MongoDB, but we track it and make sure that all questions get answered.
Great.
All right, so let's take a look at a simple application using the C# driver, and we're just going to type this in and do it live as we go. So we're going to start a new project, and we're just going to do a console application because we don't have time to be fancy. And we'll just call it MongoDB Demo. So now let's start filling in the details. The first thing we need to do is add a reference to the DLLs that contain the MongoDB driver. So we're going to use the NuGet Packet Manager, which is a really easy way to download these things. So you can do a search. If you go to the online tab here of the Packet Manager, and you search for MongoDB, it'll show up here. So this is the official C# driver, and we will install it into our solution here, accepting the license, and we're done. So I'll show the two DLLs that got added. There's one for the BSON layer and one for the driver itself, and we've packaged them separately because it's possible to use the BSON layer separately in some applications. BSON as a standard can stand alone.
Robert, maybe you want to zoom in a bit on the magnification there.
Let's increase this to, how does that look?
Looks pretty good. Maybe maybe go all the way to 200.
200, all right.
For us guys with older eyes.
Okay, so here we go. Are we ready to jump in?
Looks good.
Okay, so we've added a reference to the DLLs, and let's add a couple of using statements so that we have easy access to the namespaces. So there'll be two basic using statements, one for the BSON layer and one for the driver. And I'll show you how to get started. So the first thing you're going to need is a connection string, which will define where the server is that we want to talk to. And connection strings always start with mongodb:// So that identifies it as being a MongoDB connection string. And then we put the name of the host that we're going to communicate with. And in this demo, we'll just connect locally to my host. And then we can add any options that we might want to. And I'm just going to put safe equals true here. And I recommend that you always put that on a connection string. And what that does is increase error checking at runtime. Now, the next step is to get a server object, which is sort of the root object of the whole object model for the driver. And you get that by calling the static factory method create of Mongo server and passing in the connection string that we just defined. So one of the things I could say about this Mongo server class is it's thread safe, and you could take this instance that got returned, and you could, like, if this were a multi-threaded application or a web application, you could store it in a global variable and share it among all your threads, and that's actually a very common thing to do. Alternatively, create, every time you call it with the same connection string, it returns back the same instance of the server object, so you don't even have to keep track of this instance of the server. You can just call create again with the same connection string, and you'll get back the same server back. So you don't have to worry about instance lifetime management.
Cool. Looks very simple.
Okay, so the next thing you would want to do is, given a server that you're going to talk to, there's probably a particular database on that server that has the data you want to work with. So you go to the server object and you say get database, and you give the name of the database, so let's just call our database test. And so now we have a C# variable database which we can use to access collections on that database. So let's just get a collection object from that database. And one of the things about MongoDB is that it's schemaless. You can store any kind of document you want in there. But in practice, collections often have a single kind of document. And so when you get a collection, you're going to define the default document type. And for today's demo, we're going to use BSON document as the default document type. And we'll talk a bit more about BSON document in a second. So now we get name the collection. So now we have a collection variable that references the test collection on the test database. And that's it for setup code. Now we're ready to do CRUD operations.
And in this test database and test collection, these are things you've already set up through the shell or something like that? Or are these, are you creating these at this point?
That's actually a good question. MongoDB creates databases and collections on the fly on demand. So when you execute these statements, get database, get collection, all you're doing is creating objects in your process. So these are like proxies to the real database and the real collection. But the database and collection don't come into existence until you actually insert the first document. So whether those exist on the server yet or not depends on whether you've ever used them before.
And there's no concept of asking for a database that doesn't exist. It kind of doesn't matter whether it exists at this point.
Right. If it doesn't exist and you insert a document, it will just come into existence automatically. Yep. All right. So let's create some data. So In the C# driver, there are two ways you can work with data. One is you can work with what we call the BSON document object model, and that's all we'll be doing today. Or you can work with a domain model data classes that you've defined yourself in C#. And the driver has serialization mechanisms that map from your C# classes to BSON documents when you store it in the database, and that's called serialization. And on the way back out, we can deserialize them and reinstantiate your original C# objects. And we want to do a different presentation on the details of that later. But for today, we're going to work with the BSON document object model. And this is an object model that the driver defines that lets you work in a schemaless way in your program, just the way the documents are schemaless in the database. So to create a document, we're just going to say new BSON document. And so BSON document is a class defined by the C# driver. And as that statement stands, we have just created an empty BSON document. So it has no fields, no values. But I'm going to show you how to use the C# collection initializer syntax to sort of create a document in a really nice way. So we can just start listing the fields and values here. So I'm going to say that I want my document to have an ID of 1. So in MongoDB, every document has to have an underscore ID. It serves the role similar to a primary key in a relational database. And I'm giving it a value of 1. It can actually be any type you want. And typically in MongoDB, the primary keys are of a type called object ID, but they're harder to read and type, so I'm going to stick to integers for this demo.
And in the MongoDB engine enforces uniqueness on this?
Yes, every collection has a primary key, has an index on the underscore ID column, and it is a unique index. Okay, so now I have, as the code stands right now, I have a BSON document that has one element. Its name is underscore ID and its value is 1, but let's give it some more data. So I'm going to use books as an example. So let's say that we have an author, and one of my favorite authors is Ernest Hemingway. So there we go. Now we have a BSON document with 2 fields. And we can keep adding whatever fields we want. So we could have a title of, say, The Old Man in the Sea.
Got a comma in there.
Oh, thank you. So let's go there. Okay, so now I have I've instantiated a BSON document in my program. But it's not in the database, of course. This is just in my program. So how would I get this in the database? Well, I just tell the collection that I want to insert this document. Okay, and now I have a running program. I should actually be able to run this. So,
and at the moment that line executes, we get a database name test and a collection name test, and this document, all 3 are created then.
Exactly. So let me hit F5 to run this. And, oh, I forgot to start the server. So I have an exception that no connection could be made because the target machine actively refused it. So let me back out.
While you're starting up the server here, but Mongo has all these cool features with replica sets, failovers, sharding, all kinds of stuff. The code that you're showing right here, this code, you don't need to worry about those details. You're just working with a Mongo database, and that's a separate a set of issues about how it gets deployed. Is that the right way to look at that?
Yeah, absolutely. From an application's point of view, it's just talking to Mongo. So you don't actually have to write your application any different, whether you're connecting to a single host, a replica set, or a sharded setup. It's all sort of handled for you. In the case of a replica set, you pass the driver a seed list that identifies the members of the replica set, and the driver keeps track of which one is the current primary. In the case of a sharded system, you just connect to a Mongo S process, and the Mongo S process is the one that knows about all the sharding. But in all those cases, you just write your code as if you were connected to a single standalone server.
So typically you do what you're doing here, you have a standalone server on your box, you're the developer, you write some code, get all working, and then when you deploy it, if you need to scale things out broadly, you just have trivial changes to get all this running.
Yeah, well, really, you would just change the host name and the connection string,
and you'd
be good to go. And typically, you're going to load your connection string from the config file. Mm-hmm. So I typed it straight into my program. But if it's coming from a config file, you just change your config, and you're good to go.
Cool.
All right, so I have Mongo in a directory called MongoDB, and I have various versions. I'm going to use almost the newest one. So MongoD is the name of the server process. So I'm just going to start this here and leave this window open. So now we have a server running. So now let's go back to the program. And I should be able to hit F5 again. And I forget if I had emptied that collection or not. So it looks like it ran fine. So let's go to a program called the Mongo Shell, which is an interactive JavaScript shell that I can use to examine the database. So I'm going to navigate to that same Mongo directory where I have it installed in the bin subdirectory. So previously we ran MongoD. Now I'm going to run just Mongo. That's the shell. So I'm connected to the test database, and I'm going to look at the test collection and just see what's in there, doing a find. So there's that document that we just created in the C# program, and it showed up here in the shell. All right, so what else would we want to do here? One thing I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to add a line of code here that'll help us with our testing, but you probably wouldn't do in production. I'm going to put a drop for the collection at the beginning here, because otherwise we're going to be getting duplicate keys every time I run the program. So by starting with a drop, every time we run the program, we have a clean slate. All right, so another thing I'm going to do is I'm going to add a little bit of code here so that we don't have to keep going over to the shell and coming back. I'm going to add a little echo collection routine. So let me just type in here static void echo collection, and we're going to pass in as an argument the collection that we want to echo, and call the parameter collection. And so now we're going to start seeing a bit about how you query a collection. And let me just put some console.writeline so that we can see what's going on. So I'm going to say collection contents. And now I'm going to loop over the documents that are in the collection. So I just say for each document in collection.findAll. So we're just going to find them all. And what I'm going to do with each one is I'm just going to echo it to the console. And we have a handy conversion function that you can call to convert documents to JSON. And that's just because the document is an in-memory object, but the JSON is a string representation that's easy to read. BSON and JSON are very closely related. BSON stands for binary JSON. The primary difference, besides being binary, is that there are a few additional data types that BSON supports that JSON doesn't. And finally, let me just put a blank line here so that when we call this multiple times, there'll be some separation between them. And so what I'm wanting to do here is set it up so that as we manipulate the collection, we can keep echoing it and see the changes that we're making.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see if this runs. It should echo to the screen now. Oh, but it just exited really quickly. So let's put a little console.read line at the end here. Now let's see what we see.
Colon.
Thank you. Okay, so now when we run the program, it did the insert, it called the echo collection subroutine, and there's the document. So let's do the next operation now. So let's try to update that document. So in order to update it, the first thing we need to do is read it back. So in the echo collection, we saw an example where we're reading the whole collection. Which coincidentally only has one document, but in general that wouldn't be true. But now we want to query for the specific document that we just added. And let me add a using statement here so we can use the query builder. And so we're going to add for the builders. And then I'm going to type a query here. And so what we're doing is we're looking for documents where the ID is equal to 1, because we know that's the ID. And then now we're going to go to the collection, and we're going to do a find one and pass it the query. So when find one returns, it has the document that we just stored to the database. And now let's make a change to the document. So the BSON document object model lets you access the elements or fields of the document. So we have one called title, and we're going to change the title. When we inserted it, it was called The Old Man in the Sea. So now we're going to change it for Whom the Bell Tolls. So now we've changed it in memory, but it's not that way in the database. So let's just tell the collection to save this document back. And let's call our echo collection helper, or the helper function here, so we see the change. So now we should see echoed on the screen the original value and the updated value. So initially we see the old man in the sea, and then we did an update operation, and now it has a different value.
And this is a good example of the NoSQL approach. What we're looking at here, there's no SQL select command or SQL update. This simple syntax right here is Mongo's analogous language.
Exactly. And we're also seeing the schema-free nature of MongoDB, because nowhere have we declared what kind of documents this collection has to hold. We just created a document, and whatever it looks like, that's what gets stored.
And you mentioned earlier, in actual practice, most collections tend to have a relatively consistent structure, right? And I would assume the schema-free thing gives you the flexibility to change things on the fly. You need to add a column or whatever. There's no kind of DBA aspect to that. You just start writing code around that new column and away you go.
Exactly. And it also makes it very easy if sort of a middle-of-the-road approach is if you have a class hierarchy, you can store the different subclasses in the same collection. And they will differ slightly from each other because each subclass has new fields that the other subclasses don't.
So you don't need to create yet another table or collection every time you subclass something.
Exactly. Okay, so one of the things I could say about this save is that it's going to send the entire document back to the server. And in this case, the document is very small and it doesn't matter as far as network bandwidth. But there's also a way that you can update particular fields of a document, and that cuts down on network traffic quite a bit. So let's do the same thing, but we're going to do it in a different way, using the update modifiers. So we're going to create an update modifier, and we're going to say that we want to set the field called title, and let's give it a third value now. We'll call it a farewell to arms.
You do know your Hemingway.
He's a great author.
Agreed.
Okay, so this update modifier is sort of an instruction to the server. This is what I want you to change. So now we tell the server, instead of collection.save, we do collection.update. And we'll reuse this query object that we had defined a little back in the program. So the query object tells the server which document to update, and the update modifier instructions tell it what to do to the document. So this does not send the entire document back to the server. It just sends the instruction to set that field to a new value.
So this is the code you'd actually write if you were doing this in a production environment.
Well, it depends. This is what you would write if you were trying to optimize network traffic. If your documents are small, you could go either way and it's not going to make much difference. This could also be used if you wanted to do other kinds of operations like increment a field or add something to the end of an array. And we won't have time to go into that, but there are a lot of different things you can do with update. All right, so let's run the demo again. So now we're calling echo collection three times. So the original value, old man in the sea, is what we inserted. The second value, for whom the bell tolls, is when we did it with the .save method. And the third time we echoed the collection, a farewell to arms, that's when we did it with the update way of doing it.
Looks good.
All right, so I said we were going to do CRUD, and we've done C, R, and U. Mm-hmm. So let's see how we would delete the document. So we would just call collection.remove and pass it a query object to identify which document to remove. And if we call echo collection again, so now when we run it, the fourth time we echo the collection, it's empty again.
All right.
All right, so there's just a couple more things I want to say about this, and then we'll be done. One is what you don't see here. There are no calls to connect or disconnect, and that's because the driver connects automatically the first time you try to talk to the server, and the driver has a connection pooling mechanism, so it's actually best to just let the driver take care of all the connection management for you. If you call connect, that's relatively harmless. It just is, you're just connecting a little sooner. If you call connect and it's already connected, it's a no-op. But calling disconnect can have performance implications because it shuts down the entire connection pool. So sometimes people don't know that and they call disconnect because they think they should. So don't call disconnect. The server also has some functions called request start and request end. And they don't need to be called in most cases either. Usually, you know, they're just used when you want to make sure that a whole series of operations are done on the same connection. But that's rarely necessary. So basically, just let the driver handle connection management for you.
Makes sense. Now, what about the scenario where I've got multiple instances of a server, and I want to be sure that this has been that this has truly been saved, the change I made? I assume there's some other idioms here for how you make sure that that data is saved before you move on.
Right. So in the case of a replica set, there are other connection string options you can put there. So I put safe equals true, but you can also put options like W equals 2, for example, or W equals 3. And what we're telling the driver there is, and the server, is don't consider this operation to have completed until it's been replicated to, wait until it's been replicated to at least 3 machines. So you can control those kind of things in the connection string.
And that's a really simple, just add that to the connection string and you're done. That's great.
So I think that covers it.
Hey, Robert, that was a great intro to Mongo. I know we've just kind of scratched the surface here of what you can do with the .NET driver or with Mongo in general. We're going to do a few more of these. What other kinds of topics do you think we'll get into here?
Right, so there are other things we would like to talk about. We could talk about advanced queries and updates, all the different kinds of queries that are supported and how you would write them. We can talk about serialization. I had alluded earlier to how the driver can map your C# classes to BSUN documents and back. So there's a lot to talk about there. And we also mentioned that the 1.4 release of the driver introduced link. So that's an exciting topic to talk about. And another topic is there's a thing called GridFS that we use to store very large documents by breaking it down into smaller chunks. So there are things we can talk about GridFS and how you use it.
Great. Well, we'll just keep moving with this. And again, to remind everybody, if you're new to Mongo, you just search for MongoDB C# Language Center, and you find all these resources where you can get at the API documentation, the support group, and all the other things that are there. And look forward to doing some more of these with you.
Great.
Thanks.
Thank you for the opportunity.